the time before having a baby, particularly the first baby, is really feeling like you're not prepared until you have everything totally ready to go. But there are very few things that a newborn needs to have a healthy and happy early start.
In these times of pandemic, pregnancy presents its own set of concerns. Dr. Rachel Pilliad stands at the crossroads between childbirth and the coronavirus. She joins me for an extended discussion about keeping newborns healthy and what expectant parents need to prepare for. I'm Ian Costello, and this is the COIN Podcast Network coverage of the coronavirus pandemic.
From our studios in downtown Portland, Oregon, this is a COIN 6 digital exclusive.
I'm Rachel Pilliad, and I am a maternal fetal medicine physician at Oregon Health Sciences University. So I'm a high-risk pregnancy doctor. And then I also serve as the managing director of the Oregon Perinatal Collaborative, focusing on improving outcomes for women and their babies across the state and the region.
How much has that job changed in the last 3 weeks to a month?
Considerably, I would say. First off, on the perinatal side, we have an infrastructure, which is a monthly webinar and action call that we host for participating hospitals that are working on lots of things related to labor and delivery and inpatient pregnancy safety issues. And once we realized the state of affairs with the COVID-19 pandemic, we very quickly switched that over to a weekly meeting and time for sharing of best practices as we were rapidly developing best practices and sharing of resources, sharing of strategy, and expanded that beyond the hospitals that had been actively working on our project to include all hospitals with OB service lines and then all of the neonatal intensive care units, all of the NICUs in the area, which includes also Southwest Washington. Clinically, things have also changed in that we're providing a lot more virtual visits and telemedicine and communicating sort of results and follow-up from imaging studies and ultrasound over the phone or virtual visit. So workflow day-to-day has changed pretty considerably.
And obviously the thing that's on everybody's mind is COVID-19 and the coronavirus pandemic. Are you finding that pregnant women, pregnant couples are more anxious, more nervous, more scared than they usually are?
In pregnancy, working with families, women and their support partners or spouses, you can tell there's a lot of anxiety about personal health and safety risks, and also about this time that is so transformative. Becoming a parent and childbirth and pregnancy and all of the elements that go into that are, you know, one of the most significant life events.
There are symptoms that generally come along with pregnancy that are also symptoms of the coronavirus. What symptoms should pregnant women be paying the most attention to?
That's a great question. Fevers, sore throat, shortness of breath above what has been baseline, and if there's confusion about that, we're always happy to talk about it. The cough that has been reported by many patients with COVID-19 or coronavirus, aches, pains, myalgias, sort of diffuse body aches are things that we're all on the lookout for. A runny nose is also something we want to know about, especially if that's in combination with other things and out of the norm for patients in terms of seasonal allergies. Those are all things that we want to hear about, and we would always rather hear from our patients to try and talk through what they might be experiencing and have it be reassurance that's offered than to miss an opportunity to intervene if there's something going on, like an early presentation in someone who's infected with COVID-19 or coronavirus.
Is there any reason that if someone who's pregnant is exhibiting some of these symptoms, they shouldn't go to the doctor or the hospital?
I really appreciate you asking that question, because I sense when families come into this healthcare setting, the anxiety and the fear they're experiencing in terms of the risk of exposure by entering a healthcare facility. We've taken a lot of precautions. There are a lot of modifications that have been made to keep women safe when they enter the healthcare system. How long folks wait in the waiting room, the physical distance in the waiting room, precautions that staff is taking, the flow of patients. Oftentimes there's quarantined rooms for COVID patients versus not. And not all practices are doing each of these things, but these are just some of the examples of ways that we've kept patients safe. And we definitely want to make sure that women are still coming in and seeing this as a safe place for them to receive care. The one thing that is always the hardest is that visitation restriction and partner or spouse participation or support person participation and some of the prenatal care has been severely restricted. There are many hospitals and outpatient settings where partners are not allowed to come to things like ultrasound. And that can be really challenging and hard for our patients. It's not lost on us how difficult that is. So there's a lot of modifications at every point of the way that make it very reasonable for patients who need to be evaluated to still come in and be evaluated. Like I said before, we would always rather see patients because hospitals and healthcare providers are still the very best place for them, and we still want to keep those doors open to them.
I'm going to ask you to project into the future a little bit. What advice would you have for somebody who is due to deliver their baby in 2 weeks?
From what we understand right now, there is no compelling strong evidence to suggest that moms are giving this virus to their babies while in utero. We're still doing a lot of examining of that. There are a lot of unknowns that have yet to be determined. What we do know now is that the risk isn't from mom to the fetus as long as mom stays healthy, as the woman stays healthy. But there is a risk that you could give it to a newborn if you became ill around the time of delivery or soon thereafter. My recommendation for pregnant women is to continue doing the thing that we're recommending to everybody, which is to stay at home to the extent that you're able to, and to really social distance and continue good hand hygiene practices. And that applies to your support person as well. Expectations are really important. And I recognize that the vision for labor and delivery experience and for having your baby may be different under these circumstances. And so talking to your provider and the location where you're planning to deliver to understand what the visitation policy is and to understand what the restrictions are so that it's not a surprise. Because the hardest situations that I've encountered so far from an emotional support system perspective is when women didn't know that was happening or when the changes were initially made. The restrictions that we're putting in place around visitation are both for the health and safety of the women we take care of and the newborns that we take care of, and also the healthcare providers who are interacting with these families in a very close and personal way when they take care of women through the birth of a child. And then really thinking about what that looks like when you come home also in terms of how your family can support from afar and without having lots of visits from extended family.
Does that advice change for somebody who's due in 2 months?
I would say no, the advice doesn't change to continue with practicing social distancing, maintaining the routine prenatal care, and taking advantage of virtual visits or telemedicine as your provider offers it.
Doctor, do you have any advice or concerns about couples who may be trying to get pregnant right now?
Like I said, we don't have a huge body of information about a fetus getting sick or having any structural malformations associated with COVID-19. So the importance for families that are trying to conceive is to really be in as much compliance as they can with the things that help reduce the risk of infection. So continuing to social distance and to take those hygienic precautions to keep themselves healthy and well. Try and optimize individual health before seeking pregnancy.
We have gone over a little bit about partners in the room, visitors in the delivery room. What would be your advice for a partner as they head to the hospital to deliver?
It's a transformative experience for anyone, regardless of whether or not they play a parent role or not. Thinking about ways that you can communicate optimally with your partner in these situations. And that partner also needs to really try to avoid getting the infection as well so that they can be present, not only present, but also reduce the risk of exposing their newborn. So trying to keep the same social distance among partners and support folks and to try and minimize unnecessary trips outside of what is absolutely necessary, I think are all really important.
Doctor, you've mentioned a couple times that the data set is still pretty small in terms of what we know and what we don't know. In your expertise, do you feel that there is an overwhelming danger to a newborn because of COVID-19?
Evidence that we have collected seems to suggest that newborns are at risk for contracting the illness from other family members, but there is no strong, compelling evidence to suggest that they get it through their mom as a fetus. Among the limited data that we have, even among infants who are infected, they tend to do well, although they are the highest risk group of the children in terms of having more severe features, it still does not compare to how it is in older populations of adults.
One of the things that has gained a little bit of traction over the last couple of weeks is an idea that a mom and newborn baby may be safer during a home birth.
We're working a lot with the Perinatal Collaborative, with the Oregon Midwifery Council and other partners who are seeing a surge in demand from patients trying to deliver in a community birth or an out-of-hospital birth setting. There are definitely some maternal conditions having to do either with the pregnancy or underlying medical conditions. Even in times of non-pandemic, there are a lot of conditions for which it is too risky, in my clinical opinion, and not suitable for women to attempt to have a delivery outside of the hospital setting. And overwhelmingly, the providers in the community birth setting who are taking care of these families feel similarly. And so I think that there are reasonable candidates for having deliveries out of hospital, and there should be an informed conversation between women, their families, their support folks, and their current provider if they're planning this as a change in practice to talk about what those risk benefits are. I think we've mitigated risk, and given the prevalence of COVID-19 in our community, I still absolutely think that if your initial plan or if your risk factor suggests that it's most appropriate for you to deliver in a hospital, that our hospitals are well prepared, they have bed capacity, and they have providers that are capable of taking excellent care of them. There's multiple reasons for which a woman in this situation might consider exploring an out-of-hospital birth. For some individuals, that will be the right decision. For others, it will be a decision that, when we consider all things, the risk-benefit, may still significantly recommend a hospital-based birth for them.
Doctor, thank you very much for your time. Is there anything else that you have thought of along the way that you would like to add?
I'm really impressed with our community and with the individual patients that are weathering the storm with us and the healthcare providers. And I couldn't be prouder to be a part of this region and this state. And hopefully we all sort of continue to band together and we'll make our way to the other side.
Have a good day.
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Also today, the state of Oregon confirmed to Coin6 News that 28 senior care facilities in the state have a resident or a staff member with a confirmed case of coronavirus. Test results are still pending for more than 6 dozen additional senior care centers. And Oregon State University announced it has postponed 2020 commencement ceremonies. In a statement, the school said they could be rescheduled for this coming fall. Thank you for listening to the COIN Podcast Network coverage of the coronavirus pandemic. Take care of each other, stay safe, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
The Coin6 Podcast Network is your home for all sorts of content you can't find anywhere else. Visit coin.com/coinpodcast to see our entire library. And you can always subscribe to all of the Coin6 podcasts on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.